Akanka, I was just listening to the discussion in Next Door, and the question in there was, why isn't Lopa attached to Nippon? And I thought, I don't know either.
Does Nippon arise?
Does it arise?
Does Nibbana arise?
Nibbana does not arise.
So how can it be object of attachment?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Whenever there is something there, attachment is there. But where it's nothing there, how can there be attachment to such?
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
I mean, Nibbana is first and second time experienced by Sotapatti Magga and Sotapatti Phala.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's with detachment. Otherwise, it's not experienced.
Oh, I'm with you because there's no jitta that arises with attachment to experience. Okay. I'm understanding what you're saying.
Only Magga jitta or certain other jittas can actually experience Nibbana, but there can be attachment to the idea of Nibbana,
yeah.
Especially for those who haven't experienced it.
Yes, that was the comment.
And the enlightenment jittas, the Sotapatti Magga jitta, the moment of enlightenment when Nibbana is experienced for the first time, the Magga jitta, the moment of experiencing Nibbana, it can't be the object of attachment, even though it arises too. But it can only be the object of understanding, not the object of attachment. The Lokutra jittas, even though they arise.
Can I have a question about object condition? In what way does a rupa, an object condition for kusala jitta?
Why not?
How is, say, color, sound, smell, object condition for kusala chitta?
Yeah.
Except satipatthana, what other kind of kusala can it be object for?
What about when thinking about it wisely now?
But that's not rupa, that's concept.
Concept of the rupa.
Right.
So if it's the reality itself, then...
But without reality, can there be concept?
No. So when I hear you in your talk about the bhikkhu's robe being object condition for kusala chitta, you mean that there must be visible object and thinking about it with kusala.
And when it's the object of understanding.
That's satipatthana. That's
but
any rupa can be.
But do we have to classify? Because even satipatthana is kusala chitta.
Yes, but since you mentioned bhikkhu's robes or the image of the Buddha being object conditioned for kusala, then I was ill.
Or even the Buddha's qualities or the climate, or it's always the reflecting on about those rupas that is condition.
Or when there is dana with some object,
yeah, but it
item.
Could still be something, it still be a concept, not the color. I mean, when you think in terms of robe, it's already a concept.
Yes, but...
I think what Achan is saying is that it's because of the rupa that conditioned the thinking about robe, that particular rupa, like maybe the color of that robe. So in that way, I think it's the object.
But without that color, can we think of that?
Right.
But at the time of thinking of it with wholesome mental state, there's also the experiencing of rupa.
Yes, in between.
Mm.
But for example, robe, you think that this is suitable, it's a nice robe, better than another robe, so you choose the better one to give. It seems that...
It may be better because finer...
Right.
By the feel.
Right.
The quality is better.
Right, but you make the decision to... that it's a better one when you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm. But as Ajahn said, based on
there is rupa also. Right.
We were just talking about one or two topics, but one topic we were just chatting about was after the discussion last week woman mentioned she had a bit of a headache from so much thinking, and my comment is, it's gone. Or we may have had some difficulty or problem yesterday evening and be thinking about it, and we forget that it's completely gone and that life comes back to this moment. But usually there's the thinking, the dwelling on the story of the difficulty or the problem we had, and we just forget completely that actually now there's just seeing or thinking or hearing, and the problem isn't the headache or what happened yesterday or last week. It's just the thinking without any understanding now. Anything more you would like to ask about that?
I think that the idea of self is so very, very firm. Even we say that there is no self, there are only different realities all the time, but actually it's there. So instead of thinking whether it's self or not, whether it's I who is so in trouble, what about reality right then? It's real. It's a reality. So we just talk about that which appears at that very moment. For now, there is seeing. And there's no understanding of seeing as it is, but there is there all the time. Seeing sees. No matter how many times we talk about seeing sees, not me, not I at all, but it cannot be understanding clearly yet, because we cling to seeing so many, many lives. So how can there be just few words can eradicate the idea of I see? That's why just keep on. It's there. And there are conditions to think about it as it's just a reality. This is the beginning of to understand that actually it's not self, because it's a reality different from other reality. Like hearing is different from seeing. But it experiences different object, like seeing experiences that which is seen right now, and hearing, just hear the sound. They are real. Learn to understand that they cannot be taken for self, because they are conditioned to arise and then fall away. Just understand little by little. We cannot absolutely eradicate the idea of self or things suddenly, but begin to understand they are real. They are not self. They do not belong to anyone, because they are conditioned to arise and fall away all the time, instantly. But right understanding is not keen enough to directly experience the truth of it. So begin to understand. And the understanding is not I either. Understanding this moment, and then there's no understanding. Where was that one which has arisen? It's gone completely. But it is accumulated from moment to moment to have more understanding. If there's none at all, understanding cannot develop. But once it has begun, it can condition more, a little more understanding, little by little. So natural.
I mean, Acharya, we're not Sariputta, we're not the disciples of the Buddha who were enlightened when he was teaching. So it's very natural that there will be the idea of self, especially if we just heard, you know, just started to hear. It would be surprising if we didn't think in terms of a self about the Dhamma. So it's Tamada. That's why I told her it's Tamada.
And the point is that because now there's no understanding that seeing is a Dhamma, not self, that arises, sees visible object and falls away. So the aversion or the headache or the difficulty or this or that, everything will be taken for my problems, my headaches, my disturbance. So that's why it has to come back to this moment, and there has to be the clear understanding of the distinction of seeing now and what is seen now, thinking as a reality, what is thought about as just a concept. Otherwise, whatever occurs at any time will always be taken for my experience, my problems, my issues. So this is why we talk a lot about seeing now as different from what is seen now, just to really make it clear that seeing is just a Dharma which sees. It doesn't belong to me. It's not I who see. And what is seen, what is visible, is also just a Dharma that doesn't belong to anyone. It's not anything. It's not a cup. It's not a table. Just that reality which is seen. And this is the way that to gradually begin to understand that there is just Dharma, different Dharmas arising and falling away, no one to be found at all.
And when you think that I don't understand, others understand, I don't understand, it's still not you, it's just Dharmas arising and falling away.
What difference between ignorance and detachment?
Do you understand? That is ignorance. Cannot understand anything. Cannot understand seeing as it is. Cannot understand what hearing is. Cannot understand what it is. See? Or understand. At moment of not understanding, it's real, it's not you, but it's moment of not understanding. But when there is hearing and considering, it's different. It begins to understand. So even understanding is real, and not understanding is real. Whatever is there is real. Learn to understand what is there is real, and they are different. Before there can be the understanding created that they are not self, they are what they are.
Attachment is real and detachment is also real. They're just tamas.
Eve, you just asked when we were having that discussion what was meant by sotapanna and sotapanna's magachita. So sotapanna means the first stage of enlightenment, and we can call it the understanding of the sotapanna, but actually this is the one who becomes enlightened, just like we talk conventionally about Owen or Eve or Sarah, but in reality actually it's just Dharma. So it's just a citta at that moment which experiences Nibbana for the first time. So that is what is referred to as the path at the moment of becoming a sotapanna. Actually, it's just citta. So whatever we hear about, whatever we discuss, it's actually just citta, cetasika, and rupa. Even though we use conventional words or talk about the robe of the monk or the enlightenment of the sotapanna, actually, it can only ever refer to cittas, cetasikas, and rupas.
Clarification is needed around accumulations and realities that arise and fall away. So accumulations, please, some clarification on that, how it's used here and the meaning and so on.
Like attachment now, I think we were just talking about attachment or aversion. We were talking about aversion. So why does aversion arise? For example, we might be in the middle of a Dharma discussion and there may be aversion at some moments, or attachment will come in, very common. What is the cause? What is the reason? The reason that attachment or aversion can arise even whilst having a Dharma discussion is because there is the habit, the tendency which leads to it arising again and again. So any attachment that arises now is a condition for more attachment in future. And the attachment that arises now is because of the tendency of attachment in the past. If one's thinking with annoyance or worry about the discussion, has a headache, so to speak, this is because there is that habit or that tendency to worry or dwell on what happened, and this is what is meant by accumulation.
Thank you. We sometimes use the term accumulated tendencies as meaning the same thing as accumulations. So all the tendencies not only the wholesome and unwholesome mental qualities that Sarah mentioned, but also the habits of the way we talk or walk, any kind of activity or any aspect of what we call personality is accumulated from the past. That's why it is like it is, and that's why people are different. And each present moment of those qualities or activities or whatever you like to call them is also accumulated and carried forward.
So participating and studying the Dhamma Association hearing, wise reflection, wise friends, that possible for unwholesome accumulation or tendency to lessen, and for wholesome to with support to accumulate?
Not quite. Hearing the Dhamma cannot make the unwholesome accumulations unaccumulate. Once they're accumulated, they stay, unless and until there is one of the levels of enlightenment, because they are only actually eradicated at stages of enlightenment. However, hearing the Dhamma can be a condition for more wholesomeness in one's life than before having heard the Dhamma. So relatively more of one and less of the other.
So understanding panya eradicates.
It does, but it only eradicates at the stages of enlightenment. Prior to that, the panya just accumulates like the other tendencies, and it can be a condition, as I said, for more wholesomeness and less agusala in one's life. It can be, but there's no fixed rule about that.
All right. And a number of weeks or months ago, I believe it was with Kun Sukin, who asked me about can enlightenment be conditioned, and not understanding, just out of ignorance, I thought yes, because panya and this accumulates and over, but no, that is the unconditioned reality. But the accumulation of panya.
The reason that the Buddha taught for 45 years, and the reason that we discuss a lot about seeing or visible object, is so that the understanding gets used to this as being the object of understanding. The reason he taught for so long about all these different realities is because one has to get very used to hearing about what is real, what are the nature of dharmas. Like before, one might have thought that the problem one had at home was the reality, but now we learn that the reality is only citta, cetasika, and rupa, and we have to hear in detail about seeing visible object, hearing sound, and that's not enough. We have to learn a lot of details, we have to consider a lot of details, so that understanding gets used to understanding what is real, what can be known, and this is the way that it accumulates. This is the reason for having discussion. It doesn't mean that attachment doesn't arise, that aversion, ignorance don't arise, but the reason for considering about different realities is so that understanding accumulates, just like attachment usually accumulates.
The reason for developing understanding is to understand better, not to reduce the unwholesome tendencies.
Precisely, yes. To understand better, not to reduce.
Jan, the other day we were having a discussion about seeing and hearing, and there was one point that Al found very useful and has been telling the other Thais about with regard to Bhavanga Chittas, and I think she would like to discuss it more. I think you were making the point that when there is understanding of seeing or understanding of hearing, there is also understanding that there must be Bhavanga Chittas in between, or something like this. Or what was the point?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yes.
Like the moment of panya arising, high level of panya arising, seeing the reality of like each nama or rupa, each for example, seeing and hearing. So there's a bhavanga in between or something like that you were saying. Even you name it bhavanga or not, it's there. The different moment, like I don't understand what I'm saying. You said like seeing is a different than hearing, right? So after the moment of seeing gone, if the hearing appear, then there is Bhavangajit is in between the two.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe you should explain for her what Bhavangajit is.
In English.
I'll explain briefly. So we've been talking a lot about different realities like seeing and hearing and how they can't arise at the same time. And actually seeing has to arise in a series of cittas that experience an object through the eye door. Hearing has to arise in a series of cittas that experience an object through the ear door. But in between these different series of cittas, there must be other cittas, other moments of consciousness that just keep life going when there's no seeing and there's no hearing and there's no thinking. Just like in deep sleep, when we're in deep sleep, there's no seeing, there's no hearing, but life carries on. And these cittas that just continue life until they're interrupted by moments of seeing or hearing or mind or cheetahs are called Bhavanga cheetahs, life continuum cheetahs. And so there cannot be a series of cheetahs arising through the eye door and then immediately a series of cheetahs through the mind door or a series of cheetahs through the ear door. There must be Bhavanga cheetahs in between. So this is what I was asking about. And I think there was just, the point was there was something more, but I don't remember what the point, that in between the eye door and actually it would have to be mind door process afterwards, there must be Bhavanga cittas. And I think the point was that you were suggesting that because Panya doesn't know the Bhavanga cittas unless it's highly developed, but I think you were saying that when, I'm not sure what the point was.
Asita, you were saying something about that earlier. What did Ajahn say?
It sounds like you're passing the question around.
No, this particular one that you said Ajahn said something about Panya.
I understood Ajahn to say, in between the two sense doors, Panya eventually opens it up and it knows that there's something in between.
I mean, theoretically, we know that the Bhavangas have to be the last three Bhavangas, and then there's the adverting consciousness, right? So we are talking about each sense door being first striking the base. So as we understand, we know that before seeing, there must be Bhavanga cittas. So same with before hearing, there must be Bhavanga cittas. So that itself is explains. And if you have more understanding of each of these sense doors, it just makes more sense. Right? That's how I understand.
And when visible object arises, the rupa, and all rupas are conditioned, then there are 17 cittas that arise and pass away for the duration of the rupa. The rupa duration is at least 17 cittas, so it's a lot involved in visible object impinges on eye sense. And maybe, is it possible to state the sequence of cittas, please?
For clarification.
Okay, so Eve is asking about the process of cittas in which seeing arises. So seeing is just one citta, one moment of consciousness that experiences the visible object. But actually that visible object, as she mentioned, lasts, even though it's so short, it lasts longer than cheetah. It lasts 17 times as long. So actually, counting from the last three Bhavanga cheetahs, because we're talking about the length of the rupas, after those Bhavanga cheetahs, there must be the cheetah that
adverts to the object. There cannot be any seeing of the object if there hasn't been a citta before it which adverts to the object. And this citta which adverts to the object is not kusala, it's not akusala, and it's not result. It's another kind of citta that can advert to the object, no matter it's a pleasant object or unpleasant object. And it's followed by seeing, which is the result of karma. So seeing can experience a pleasant object, and another kind of seeing can experience an unpleasant object, depending on whether it's the result of wholesome or unwholesome karma. And it's actually followed by two more cittas, which are also the result of karma, the sampatichana and the santirana cittas. So these are two more cittas that are the result of karma. And they're followed by one more citta, which is also not wholesome, unwholesome, or result. So one more citta, which has to follow after these ones, which are the result of karma. And then it is followed by seven wholesome or unwholesome cittas. And we were talking about functions the other day. So these cittas, the kusala or akusala cittas, they have the function of javana, the function of running through that object in a wholesome or an unwholesome way. Because Ajahn was talking about how we shouldn't confuse the nature of cittas with the functions. So these kusala or akusala cittas experience that object in a wholesome or unwholesome way. And then, depending on whether that visible object has fallen away or not, there may be one or two more result cittas, the Tadaramana cittas you mentioned. And this depends on whether the visible object has fallen away and whether there is still clinging onto that object that is experienced. For example, in some realms of existence, these cittas never arise. But in the sense realm, they can arise at the end of that sense door process or the end of the immediately following mind door process when the visible object is still experienced. And so that is basically the process.
And Sarah, is it about three cheetahs into this process that attachment is there?
So, as I just mentioned, after the Bhavanga cheetahs, there's the adverting consciousness, mm-hmm. seeing, and then two more Vipaka cheetahs, right. And then one more cheetah, the Votapanna cheetah, which is another Kriya cheetah, right. And then the seven moments of kusala or akusala, and if it's unwholesome cittas that arise, it can be with attachment. If it's a pleasant object, attachment commonly arises.
Thank you.
And then at the end, there may be one or two of these other cittas which are a result, depending on if the visible object hasn't fallen away yet.
Yes.
And the depending on the realm. So you can see that actually it's very complicated, but it actually all comes down to life at this moment, seeing now, attachment now, wholesome, unwholesome. So what we learn is by studying these details is just that actually life is just made up of different dharmas, those dharmas which are cause, which are wholesome or unwholesome, and those dharmas which are result. No self to be found at all. And that's the only purpose of studying these details, to really find out that actually there are just these different realities in life.
Am I right to say that in the conclusion of this, this means the seeing in between that citta or 13 or I'm not sure what the number means, but in between that, it's happened almost simultaneously. But if we understand that, understand that it's a Dharma, after Dharma, and after Dharma, that's before we taking it as unwholesome or unwholesome, or react to whatever that we're seeing, or we open to another series of Dharma, the right understanding should help us shorten another Dharma in an unwholesome way.
This is a similar point to what Eve was bringing up. Everyone would want to have less unwholesome consciousness in their lives. So everyone's looking for a way to achieve that. But really, the reason the Buddha explained all this was so that there can be better understanding of the way things are. Having less unwholesomeness arise in our lives doesn't help to get rid of the accumulated tendency. So it will still arise again and again, if not in this life, then in future lives. The only way to get rid of the unwholesome tendency, rather than just suppress it, is the development of understanding of realities as they are now.
There is no self that decides through this I'm going to reduce clinging, which is suffering, or aversion, which is suffering, or ignorance, which is the root of all this suffering, so much suffering. That's going in the wrong direction. Through developing understanding will condition more understanding. The clinging comes so quickly just on seeing that it's impossible for the self, which is really non-existent, to eradicate this, or to think that, you know, I can come here and do this and lessen suffering and increase understanding. It's no, it doesn't happen like that.
For most people who are interested in the Dhamma and follow a practice, for example, going to a retreat of some kind, their goal is to have less unwholesome moments occurring. And that's what distinguishes them from the understanding of things as they are. If the goal is understanding, then it doesn't matter whether there is wholesome or unwholesome consciousness at the present moment, because whatever is appearing can be understood as it is. And the understanding of things as they are is what helps one to see the unsatisfactoriness and the emptiness of realities that we take for self. And it's that kind of understanding that will eventually lead to the eradication of the unwholesome tendencies.
And I was just going to say, and this is why it actually takes a lot of courage and patience, because it takes courage to really be truthful and really face up to the reality just as it is, with detachment, instead of trying to avoid those we don't like and seek those we think are good. So the aim isn't just to have more metta, more kindness, to be a good person. The aim is to understand Dharma at this moment, however it is conditioned, whatever it is, and to really understand that it's not self.
Similarly, doing wholesome deeds, tambun for example, and various kinds of dana and so forth, they can be wholesome, but they can't eradicate the unwholesome tendencies.
Only Panya can understand lopa for what it is. Otherwise we just want, if not sense objects, we want kusala. Right, everyone wants to tambun, but don't understand that it's with lopa, and that is not bun, that is a kusala.
And it's only when I started coming here that I could just begin to see ignorance, how much and how deep it is, and this is happy moment here to start to understand ocean of ignorance so deep. Yeah.
And the other thing we come to understand is that rebirth into a happy realm in the next lifetime is only a temporary thing anyway, because after that lifetime, then if there's no more conditions for further rebirth in a happy realm, then there can be rebirth in any other realm. So doing things in order to have more wholesomeness, in order to try to bring a good result in this lifetime or next lifetime, is not going to bring any solution to the unsatisfactoriness of life that we learn about.
Earlier, Jonathan was talking about accumulations, and he was referring to the accumulations of wholesome and unwholesome realities, and also accumulation of different habits. Such as one person might react to a glass of water one way, another way. What is this, Achan?
Reality.
What reality is? I mean,
that's why we better talk just about one reality at a time in order to really understand. Because the point of studying or listening to the teaching is just to understand whatever appears. And before hearing the teachings, we think that we understand a lot of many, many things. But after hearing the teaching, there is the understanding that actually reality appears to ignorance, not knowing or understanding it as not self. Because from birth, there are so many things appearing from there to there with the idea of I all the time. And one has to begin to understand that is it right or wrong? Because what Buddha taught about all reality is like seeing, hearing. It's so real. But who knows about what conditions this to arise to perform its function and then no more. To learn each reality at a time. So we talk about just one reality at a time. What is seeing? Very simple. Anyone can answer, but it depends on how much understanding is there. We can say, what is it? But how much understanding of it? So what is it? Start from the very beginning. It's real. It's a reality. It must arise. Otherwise, it's not there. But no one experienced the arising of that which now appears. And the Buddha said that whatever arises falls away in split seconds. And we learn to understand whether this is true or not. Because seeing is not hearing. And it seems like they both are there together. No one can divide moment of seeing and hearing. But Buddha said about all realities as not self, and the lifespan of each reality is very short. For example, we think that seeing sees all the time, all day. But Buddha said seeing just arises and sees and then gone away instantly. That's why it cannot be I, it cannot be taken for self, because after it has fallen away, it's completely, absolutely gone, never to be found again, nowhere at all. So we think that we see the same thing now, or from morning, or to the night, but actually what is seen is not the same, and the seeing is not the same. Everything in life is not the same, just one moment at a time. And learn a little more of each reality to understand that it cannot be taken for self. This is the way to learn to understand. And understanding is not I, it's the moment of understanding develops or accumulates from moment to moment, because citta arises and falls away. What is there in the citta this moment will pass on to the other moment, because as soon as this moment has fallen away, it conditions the next one instantly. So since this one is conditioned by the previous one, everything there pass on or accumulated in other moment, from moment to moment, from life to life. That's why we have different qualities, latent tendencies. What color do you like? You choose to like it, or it has been accumulated for quite a long time. Yeah. What the taste and whatever in life. Yeah. Each moment, from moment to moment, and not just one at a time. Many things arising together, like seeing cannot arise alone, who knows? It needs other mental factors to condition it to arise. And it arises just to see. It cannot hear, it cannot think at all. So it cannot I who see, I who hear, or I who think. Learn to understand realities as the self.
And earlier you were talking to me and also Eve also about death. So actually we can learn there are different kinds of death, but in the deepest sense, actually there is death at each moment, because the citta now, the moment of seeing, arises and falls away, never to return. So this is the momentary death. Hearing now arises and falls away. So actually there is death at each moment, and each moment of experience follows another moment of experience. And at the end of life, it's actually just like this. It's just one citta followed by another. So by understanding now how each citta follows another one, we begin to understand how it must have been like this yesterday, and must have been like this last year at the beginning of life, tomorrow. It's always like this, just death of each citta moment by moment, never a gap at all.
Sarah, there's a moment of appreciation here, because I was waiting for clarification on this since I was 16, long before I came here and I met you. I was saying this to friends about the little death. I called it the little death, and it is, yeah, a moment of appreciation.
So, actually, again, what is death?
Is the falling away of the citta.
So, when we call death, it means that the last moment of citta, which arises and ends up the whole life, it is its function.
Yes.
Because each citta arises to perform its function. Like seeing cannot be death, hearing cannot be death, thinking, sleeping cannot be death, because each citta arises to perform its own function.
There is no I who decides to see and then I will hear. There is no self to make order of the rupa which arise and pass away. There's no control over it. There's no choice. It's conditioned. Rupa, all rupas are conditioned. So without the rupa, visible object, there is no eye-base. It's necessary for seeing to occur. There must be the rupa arising and impinges on eye base, and the eye base itself is a thing. Citta actually experiences this object. So there is no self that decides or does this.
But we're now talking about the cittas, so we're talking about the different kinds of death. So actually at each moment, each citta arises and falls away, and the last moment of this life, which we call death consciousness, has to be followed immediately in the same way by the next citta, which is the birth consciousness of the new life. And so we were talking in the car about birth consciousness. So birth as a human, birth as a monkey, different kinds of birth depending on past karma, but no gap between the death consciousness and the birth consciousness, one citta following another.
My question just now, I was just thinking about it, because we were talking initially about accumulations in the sense that each dhamma, each
kusala,
they accumulate, lobha accumulate, panya accumulate, metta accumulate. So how much it's been accumulated in the past depends on how much it's accumulated in the past and other conditions that it will arise now and in the future. And then we are talking about it seemed to be something else other than just these different accumulated tendencies. It also, we were also talking about how different ways people walk or different colors, as you were saying, people like. So in my mind, I was thinking that is that because the citta, all that's been arisen, it's accumulated in each citta. So we're talking about not only the chetasikas conditioning the citta, but also the citta with that, all that accumulation conditioning the different chetasikas that make a person walk one way or another way. Is that?
But we have to understand the characteristic and the function of each reality. For example, citta is that which experiences only that, and like perform its function.
Like right now when a jhana is speaking and there is the moving of the hand in a certain way, so there are the rupas conditioned by citta at those moments. So those accumulated cittas at that moment, kusala or akusala, also condition rupas. So we can talk about the way of walking or the moving of the hand, which is conditioned by citta, but it's the cittas and the chetasikas that accumulate, but they condition various rupas
right.
when they arise. That's why we have to be specific about the condition for each
right, the condition,
reality.
Cittas condition, rupa conditions. Different rupas are conditioned by different mental chetasikas.
Like if you talk about the way of walking, you can't say the way of walking is accumulated, but the cittas which
right.
condition the walking, the rupas at those moments are conditioned, and that's one reason we walk in a different way.
So I can understand why lopa arises each time there's seeing for a person who has a lot of accumulated lopa. I can, or on the other hand, aversion arising. But that one person, two persons having aversion arise, one reacts one way or another reacts another way. What is that a reference to?
Well, there are different ways in which aversion can condition bodily action. So for one, it may result in harsh speech, and the other, it may result in bodily conduct, turning away, for example.
And the harsh speech between two people who would have harsh speech, different kinds also.
Yeah, okay.
Right, now that difference, what is that?
Just the same, just accumulated tendency.
But it's still,
just like
it's still
speak,
harsh.
Just like you speaking now.
It's, right, it's, I understand, yes,
yeah.
I can see that. We're not, it seems that we're not talking now just about chetasikas, different accumulation chetasikas, but something more that adds to the spice or something, you know.
It has to be just chetasikas, can't be anything else.
And what is it that, say for the arahata who used to jump, what is it that conditioned that? Because definitely there's no lopa there, just kriya chittas.
Right.
And
so these tendencies.
Can we say he liked to jump?
He walks a particular way.
Because he liked that way. Like when we are going to sleep, what position one is used to?
Yeah.
See?
Yes, I understand that's happening. I understand
even
it
at this
happen,
moment,
but what is that condition?
The way of holding the microphone.
I understand. See, I understand that that's what happens. But I want to know what is it that conditions that?
It's like,
because we talk about realities, but mm-hmm. then this seems to be.
But that's what we're discussing. It's like, why at this moment are you speaking this word and not that word? It's exactly the same, because at that moment of kusala akusala citta, it conditions that word because of that memory, and that tendency has been accumulated, and that's why you will speak that word and I will speak another word
right.
at that moment.
Now you brought in the fact of memory. So
right.
memory can
condition the
can
thinking
condition, like,
and
each time
which conditions
the
rupa in different ways.
I walk, I try to avoid certain obstacles. I remember how I did it the last time, and it automatically leads to that
so,
same way. I can understand that.
Yes.
Right?
So if there's no memory, there would be no thinking. And if there was no thinking, there would be no walking at all. There would be no intention to move a step. There would be no intention to go left or go right. So that is because of memory, which conditions the thinking, and the cittas, which condition those rupas.
So it's memory.
Memory and thinking habit. and
habit,
attachment.
Yeah. What is that? Because habit yeah. comes down to cittas and cittas again,
yes,
right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
because but that habit, it seems to be more than just lopa arising for a person to each time behave a particular way, because lopa can condition different behaviors too.
Yeah.
So why that particular way and not this way?
Because the more what that particular, because sukhin, the more that a particular accumulation plays out in jitta, the more chance it has to arise again and
yes,
again and again.
There's no question
yeah, so
about
that's the whole reason.
Yeah,
and it's we're talking about so many lifetimes. Let me finish. We're talking about so many lifetimes of accumulations that each of us is so different. We have all these different tendencies and whatever's coming out because of past accumulations, and the more. And it's not only accumulations from the past, it's accumulations from even in this lifetime, the way we've been brought up in our homes and so forth, that have the jitta and jetasika and rupa that arise, that have arisen throughout this entire lifetime, for instance, I'll give you an example. I hadn't seen my sister in many, many, many years. And in fact, I haven't seen her in 20 years, my sister. And yet, when we do get together, we find that we do some things a certain way, we move a certain way, we stand a certain way. She'll stand a certain way, and I'll say, "Oh, you look just like mother." And, you know, things like this. So there's all kinds of these accumulations that come up through. That play out in terms of looking like moving something some way like your mother did or something like this, and it's all part of the process of accumulations.
Because every time one moves, for example, there has to be some way of moving. There's no template for moving the fingers for holding the microphone. One holds it according to the way one is used to doing so. So it's just those mental factors.
I was thinking earlier, the reason I mentioned whether it's the maybe the influence of chittas during the jhana process with all the accumulations influencing the chittasikas is that I was thinking about the example of, say, a cup of coffee still having the smell after you wash it. Habits, is that and that's why I said, is that because, and that's an example of the citta conditioning the same reactions.
Asevanapachi.
Could I say that everything in very basic lay terms, that everything that happens in life is a result of karma, accumulations, and also that it is not possible for the self to decide, I'm going to change or I won't do that and change, because I think many people have the experience when they make up their mind, I'm not going to do that, the next thing they do is when a similar situation arises, because of the habit and the proclivity, they're doing it again, exactly what they said they weren't going to do. Can't change, even though I don't like the karma.
Actually, there are many different conditions for the dharmas that arise in life. So karma is one condition, accumulations is another condition, but many, many other conditions. So one can't just say it's whatever happens is because of karma and accumulations. That's why one has to consider each term carefully. So when people say, oh, the floods in Thailand are because of karma or something like this, actually this is just talking conventionally, because in the Dharma it's very precise, like seeing now, hearing are the results of karma, but the habits we're talking about is the result of another condition.
So like in the case of the
arahat who skipped or jumped over puddles even though there's no lobha, but just because the cheetahs with lobha have conditioned that way of behavior that is just for a long, long time, like gesticulating one's arm in a particular way, which may happen when or whether or not there is the attachment now.
Vasana.
But when you just mentioned Ajahn to Sukhin that because of a Sevana Pachya, but that is just referring to the repetition of lobha cheetahs in a process. So I forget what his question was, but that's only referring to why there is more than one moment only.
I was saying to Uwan that it's because she heard this word vasana.
And it is vasana.
Yes, I know it is vasana, but it's in English, what is it? Not habit. What is it? There's a word for it.
What is not habit. Vasana in English?
Tendency? Is that tendency? Tendency. Yes, tendency.
Now, Jan is asking, what is vasana?
Oh. Like you have this habit of doing this many lifetimes. You do, like, you walk like this, or you know, like you can't change it. Even Parahan cannot change the way he walks. I mean, he's been like that, so it's vasana.
Ajahn just said it's personality.
Could you use
personality? Oh, personality.
Ah, okay.
But it's not just personality. I mean, personality doesn't include
a habit like,
yeah, or the way I'm speaking. That's all to do with it. Yeah, just the way we pronounce the words or the way we speak the different consonants.
Would that answer your question?
Okay. Vasana.
I was referring to that actually, but I didn't know the word. But I'm still the question.
But there's still what is the vasana? It's still the mental factors.
And actually, what we can see is because it's detailed, because it's not just conditioned by cheetah and chetasika, because other factors are also important, like karma and temperature, other factors are also conditioning the rupas at that time. Yeah, like the way of speaking, it's conditioned by cheetah, but also the voice is, that's conditioned by karma and the temperature. So other factors are important too.
What is personality?
What do you mean by personality?
That's what I'm asking.
Excuse me, may I say something?
Yes.
From what I understood, like, if you say about vasana, it means like body actions and the word action. So arahata still have a vasana too, but absolutely just the Buddha is no vasana.
Correct.
Yeah, like that. If you say about the vasana, it means like kaya payok and vachay payok, body action and the word action. Like there, some people can accumulation like to speak loudly, or some people speak not too loud like that. Yes. From what I understood.
Would that, could have it be simile?
And that's the point, like speaking loudly, so even an arahat may still have that habit conditioned by past lobha for speaking in that way, and there's still that habit even when no lobha is involved at all.
And like, can be some people, they can confuse that, but why arahat is still like speak like this, but in the truth, they know of attachments, no ignorance, but just like the vasana, just accumulation. But some people can compute too, yes.
Well, I think this was Sukhin's question, because if you're talking about the rupas that are involved at that time, they are not the habits, because only the cheetahs and cheetah seekers are accumulated, but those habits, those rupas that are conditioned in that way have become the way of speaking, the way of behavior.
And honestly, Sarah, I appreciate you when you speak English, when you explain in Dhammas also. I used to look you in YouTube in Vietnam. You have a good vasana accumulation. Honestly, yes, I like I when you speak. Honestly.
The other day when we were having an outing, Jan, just before we had to leave, you were stressing to Eve how, or everyone, how important it was when learning about different cheetahs to understand the different kinds of cheetah, the different jatis, the fact that there are not just kusala and akusala cheetahs, wholesome and unwholesome cheetahs, but result cheetahs, and then those cheetahs which are not cause or result. And you were talking about, we were talking about the functions of different cheetahs and how there are 14 different functions, and we have to understand the difference between cheetah and its function. For example, the first moment of life, the birth consciousness, has the function of beginning life, and the last moment of life has the function of ending life. The kusala or akusala cheetahs have the function of running through the object in a wholesome or unwholesome way. And Ajahn was stressing how important it is to understand about cheetahs and functions in order to really understand that there's no self. And then at the end you were asking Eve about what are the different kinds of birth or birth consciousness, but we needed to leave. And I think again you were stressing that we have to understand more details to really understand that there's no self. Otherwise we talk about a lot of things that we don't really understand, and we keep having the idea that this person or this animal or someone is born. But actually there are just different kinds of birth consciousness because of different causes, because of different karmas in the past. Some with wholesome roots, some without wholesome roots. And this, through understanding the different kinds of birth, it helps to explain why animals are different, humans are different, some with understanding, some no, with no understanding, and so on. So gradually we learn about these different details to just really begin to understand that there are just different dharmas with different functions behaving in different ways by conditions.
Sarah, just now you mentioned the importance of knowing the difference between chitta and its functions. Are you referring to characteristic and function?
For example, seeing has the function of experiencing what is seen. So the chitta is the seeing consciousness, but its function is to experience the visible object.
hearing is the citta. There is a citta which hears, and it has a function of hearing the sound. The life continuum citas, the bhavanga citas, have the function of continuing life. So all in all, there are 14 different functions from the moment of beginning life to the function of seeing, the function of adverting to the object, the function of experiencing the object, a function of receiving the object, and so on. And usually there's quite a lot of confusion between citta and the function. So everyone talks about jhāvana cittas, for example, but actually they are kusala or akusala cittas that have the function of running through the object.
So you're talking function in, from another meaning, another classification. You're not talking about the function as in each dhamma has the characteristic function, manifestation, and proximate cause. You're talking about those 14 functions, different things, right?
It is the when we talk about how each citta has a characteristic and a function, this is the function. But even if we talk about all the citas that there are, the total citas, still there are only 14 functions. Whatever kind of kusala citta it is, whether it's with understanding or without understanding or whatever kusala or akusala citta arises, it just has the function of jhāvana, or running through the object at that time. So it doesn't matter how many cittas there are. Actually, there are only 14 functions in total. Is there anything else to say about the importance of studying functions or understanding the difference between cittas and functions?
To understand better and better, to see that citta cannot be taken for self.
Could I state that this realm, being born in human realm, yes, as a human being rather than a dog or a cat or another animal or insect, the purpose would be for more and more understanding at this moment now.
We need to put it a slightly different way. We can say that in a animal realm there isn't the opportunity to develop understanding, but in a human realm, depending on the kind of birth consciousness, if it is birth consciousness that arises with panya, then there may be the opportunity to develop understanding in this life. Because in the human realm, the birth consciousness has to be the result of kusala karma, but it may be the result of very weak kusala karma, in which case someone may be born with handicaps from the first moment and no roots at all, no wholesome roots, and then no opportunity to study the Dharma, for example, to understand the Dharma. Or it may be the result of kusala karma with roots, but only two roots, aloba and adosa, but no panya as a root. So it depends on the birth consciousness, which depends on the kind of karma. For the result of akusala karma, like in a animal realm or hell realm, there is only one kind of birth consciousness, patisandhi citta, just the result of akusala karma with no roots. But when it's the result of kusala karma in the past, there are 18 kinds of birth consciousness. So it depends whether it's with roots, without roots, whether it's strong or weak, with happy feeling, neutral feeling, and so on. So many factors which will determine whether there will be an opportunity to develop understanding in life.
So Earth in a given realm doesn't have a purpose, but it has a cause. And I think what the Buddha said was that birth as a human is difficult to obtain, dulabo. That gives an indication that there is opportunity in birth as a human that isn't present in many of the other realms, including some of the heavenly realms.
So a question is roots, please. Different roots and no roots.
So this is another condition. So we've talked about karma condition, and we've talked about upanisya condition or accumulations condition. Another condition is root condition. So there are three unwholesome roots, which are attachment, aversion and ignorance, lobha, dosa and moha. And there are three wholesome roots, alobha, adosa and panya, non-attachment, non-aversion and panya. So at birth may be with roots or without roots. In a human realm, when it's without roots, it's a result of very weak kusala karma. In an animal realm, always without roots. And at this moment of attachment, there must be the root of attachment and the root of ignorance, because ignorance is there as a root whenever a kusala citta arises. At a moment of aversion, there must be the root of aversion and the root of ignorance. Sometimes there can be ignorance without attachment or aversion, then there is just the root of ignorance. And at a moment of kusala or wholesomeness, like at a moment of generosity, there must be the roots of alobha and adosa, but not necessarily panya. And at a moment of understanding, there must be all three wholesome roots. So the roots are there at each moment of kusala or akusala that arises.
Sarah, what do you mean by a birth without roots? I mean, how can you have, you know, I can understand a birth with akusala roots, say, but I cannot understand a birth without roots.
So we're talking about the first moment of life, the birth at the moment of conception, that is the result of karma. Now, life in a human realm has to be the result of kusala karma. But if it's very weak, then someone may have all sorts of handicaps from the first moment. And it's actually the santirana citta that conditions that patisandhi citta, that birth consciousness. And there are no wholesome roots at all. There cannot be akusala roots, because it's not the result of akusala karma. It's the result of kusala karma, but it's so weak that there are no wholesome roots.
Oh, yeah, I understand that, but you kept on saying without roots at all. So how can there be a birth without roots of any kind?
For example, this moment of seeing consciousness, this moment of seeing is a vipaka citta, which is rootless, no roots at all at the moment of seeing. And birth also, so the moment of birth can be without roots, because it's actually the santirana citta that is that moment of birth. So it's actually without roots at that moment. So vipaka cittas can be with or without roots. Seeing and the next two vipaka cittas are examples of vipaka cittas which are without roots. When it's birth in an unhappy realm, an animal realm, it's always without roots.
So there's no purpose, as John was saying, it's just cause and effect. So being born is the result of good karma. But I think maybe you're referring to what's the most valuable thing in life. When you're born a human being, and when the teachings are still there, so that's understanding, hearing the Dhamma and developing understanding, that's the most valuable.
How many akusala vipaka? are there? How many akusala vipaka are there? Only seven. Not more than that. No matter it's the result of killing, stealing, or whatever, being born on an elephant, an ant, the citta, which performs the function of patisanti, must be one of the seven akusala vipaka. And seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching cannot perform the function of birth. And sampatichana, which receive the object after seeing, hearing, cannot perform the function of patisanticitta. So only one, santirana, akusala vipaka, can perform the function of akusala plane.
Okay, but akusala vipaka.
Yes.
I mean, has one.
Only one.
But akusala vipaka has roots as well.
No. That's why there are altogether 18 types of citta without roots at all, including the akusala vipaka. Seven akusala vipaka.
Okay.
And that's why, because it's the santirana citta, which is rootless, which conditions the unwholesome, the birth, which is a result of unwholesome karma, no matter in what realm, it's always rootless. And also when it's the result of very weak kusala karma, birth in this realm or even a heavenly realm, then it, because it's performed by santirana citta, it must also be rootless.
Only.
I misunderstood. I always thought there had to be some kind of roots, and that an animal, say,
would have been born in a realm. Well, has akusala roots totally, but so an animal would not have either akusala or kusala roots.
No roots at all. Just like moments of seeing or hearing. No roots at all, and that's why it helps to understand, for example, what birth consciousness are or what the kinds are, because then there's no confusion about how there could be purpose at that moment, because it's just a citta that rises by causes. And if it's the result of akusala karma, then it's just akusala vipaka, no purpose in any vipaka cittas of any kind, not wholesome or unwholesome purpose, because it's just the result.
And how does this link to the last citta on the dead moment?
What nature is the death moment? What nature of citta? There are four: kusala, akusala as the cause, and vipaka is the result. So when it is the result of akusala karma, it is akusala vipaka, another type of citta, which is the result, because karma can produce result. So the citta, which is the cause, is kusala. It produced the result, which is the kusala vipaka citta. Not only kusala, but it's the result of kusala. So it is kusala vipaka, the result of kusala. When it is the akusala karma, it produces the akusala vipaka citta, because the result must be citta and cetasikas. Otherwise it's useless to be result if it cannot experience anything at all. But when it's the result of akusala karma, it experiences the unpleasant objects. So that's why we have to learn to understand what are there in life, different cittas. The first moment is vipaka. It has to be result of one karma. When it's the result of akusala karma, no need to have more than cetasika, not many cetasika, as kusala vipaka. Only just enough to produce result, to be akusala vipaka. That's why we have to understand the seeing consciousness are the result, and no matter it is the result of kusala karma or akusala karma, there are only seven cetasikas with the seeing, which performs the function of seeing. So we think the seeing is very important, but seeing itself is not important. But the accumulation of like of this like a certain object, after seeing sees, condition the world and thoughts and many things after that. But seeing itself just arises and falls away, only one moment, only one moment. And the other karma, vipaka, later can arise after just one moment. And so on. This is why we learn to understand the process of citta. Because at moment of birth, there is no process of seeing or hearing yet. So even so, citta can experience object without the vara or process. But the object cannot be known, because it's not that which is seen or heard or touched. That's why the moment of birth, there is the object, which is the object before death or previous life. Unknown. Yeah. So many things to just learn about one citta at a time. Yeah. In the beginning, there should be the understanding of the difference by way of nature. Citta arises to be kusala, citta arises to be akusala as the cause, and citta which are the results. Because the kusala is kamma and the akusala is kamma, so it produces its own result. The akusala kamma can produce only akusala vipaka, and the kusala kamma can produce only kusala vipaka. The result of it, of good deeds, must be good result, like seeing pleasant things, hearing pleasant objects. Is thinking vipaka?
I need to be honest, I still need to. Vipaka in Thai, ni ku alaya ka
jan.
Vipaka.
The
result of karma. Okay. Thinking, yes.
It's the cause. Good, wholesome, unwholesome thinking can condition good, wholesome, unwholesome action and deeds, which is the cause for the vipaka later to arise.
And when we think about that which is seen, right, or that which is heard, we think with attachment, aversion, understanding. So is attachment, aversion, understanding result?
Yes.
They are result of karma? Mm-hmm. And what is karma? Karma is cause. Karma is cause, and result, vibhag, is the result of cause, of karma. So we're talking about different type of cittas. Some are cause, some are result. We are talking about seeing being result of karma, seeing good, pleasant object being the result of good karma, seeing unpleasant object being result of bad karma. Same with hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And thinking, is that result of karma? Should be. Because we think about that something we just heard or just see, and we think in different ways, some with attachment, some with aversion, some with understanding. That sounds to you like result?
Everything is getting a bit
mixed up now.
Yeah. For me.
So just we can level. Yeah, so just at this moment, seeing now, hearing, these are results. Seeing now, hearing, result of past karma. And afterwards, when there is attachment to what is seen, it's different. So the thinking with attachment, liking the color orange, for example, actually it's not the moment of seeing anymore. It's the thinking of attachment. So this we call cause, and it's no longer the result of karma. So seeing is one thing, but thinking with attachment is another. Mm-hmm. So the seeing is result, but the thinking of attachment is cause.
and we've been talking about how it accumulates. Mm-hmm. And on the topic, because this was what you asked me before about death, so the moments of birth and the moments of death are result. So the moment of birth in this life and the moment of death in this life are both the result of the same karma in the past. And all the moments of bhavanga-cittas during this life, like we discussed when in deep sleep and in between the processes, they are all vipaka-cittas, they're all result, they're all the result of exactly the same karma, and they have exactly the same characteristic and experience the same object. But the first one we call birth consciousness because it has the function of beginning life, and the last one we call death consciousness because it has the function of ending life, but otherwise exactly the same as all the bhavanga-cittas. And at the end of this life, that we have said the last moment of death consciousness in this life is followed by the first moment of birth consciousness in the new life. So the death consciousness, we've just said, was the same as the birth consciousness of this life, result of past karma. But the birth consciousness of the next life is the result of another karma, karma from this life or a previous life. So any karma in the past which conditions the kusala or akusala cittas just before death, which brings result in the new life by way of birth consciousness. And then in the new life, that birth consciousness, the bhavanga-cittas, the death consciousness, will all be conditioned by that karma.
Thank you for clarifying that. So this life, to reflect back, this life, birth consciousness is a result of the chuti-citta, the death citta of the previous life. And
when you say it's a result, we can say it follows the death consciousness.
Follows, yes.
So it's conditioned by the death consciousness because it's the citta that follows it, but it's not the result. It's the result of karma from the past. So as we know, for each citta, many conditions apply. So one condition is that there has to have been the citta before it. So it follows the death consciousness by way of succeeding it, but it's the result of karma from the past.
So each citta conditions the following. Bhavanga cittas are neutral or conditioned by the citta preceding it?
There's another condition that we haven't mentioned, anantra pachya, and this means that proximity condition, and it explains the way that each citta that falls away conditions the next citta, a bit like falling dominoes. Each one is the condition for the next one to arise. So there cannot be any gap. Each citta succeeds the one before it by this condition, anantra pachya, which is different from karma condition and different from natural decisive support condition, which conditions the accumulations. So this is another condition which shows how there always has to be a citta, and each one conditions the next one. So gradually, by understanding more about different conditions which condition reality at this moment, we can see that it's not just because of karma or just because of habits, but many different conditions make it so that the citta now couldn't be any other way. It has to be exactly this one at this moment because of these different conditions.
And as Sarah said, there are many different conditions. When we say that one thing conditions another, in conventional language we mean it like it causes it. But it's not like that in the Dhamma, because conditions can be quite different from being a cause. It just means that there's a relationship between the two. So each moment of consciousness is related to its predecessor moment, because there can't be two moments at the same time. So one has to fall away before the other can arise. And that's another condition called disappearance condition. It doesn't mean that it's a cause for the next moment of consciousness, just that is a relationship.
I mean, that's why it's good to hear about different kinds of conditions. There are altogether 24. So when we talk about conditions, we're talking about different ways, different dhammas arise with other dhammas performing different functions, as in the case of seeing. Seeing just sees, but it cannot feel, so it arises with feeling. It cannot remember, it cannot intend. So these are different dhammas that condition each other. They arise together. And then there is there are other conditions, such as the one Sarah was talking about. When a chitta falls away, there must be a next one arising immediately. And this is by another kind of condition.
And Ajahn mentioned another condition when the kusala or akusala chittas arise. Why are there seven? And there's another condition, a sevana pachya or repetition condition, which refers to how these chittas, that first one in the process, that first kusala or akusala chitta, conditions the next one in this way. So many different conditions. And when we were talking about root condition, we were saying at a moment of seeing, or if it is birth consciousness that's conditioned by kusala karma or very weak kusala karma, there are no roots, so no root condition applying. But still the chitta is arising with other chitta seekers, and they condition each other by associating together. So the chitta seekers condition each other and condition the chitta, and it conditions them. So if lobha arises now, not only is it a root, but it also conditions the chitta seekers and the chitta by associating together with them. So many different conditions or causes for any reality to be just the way it is at this moment.
And just getting back to the difficulty of understanding about what is cause, what is result, because in conventional usage, getting things that we like is considered to be result of past karma, and in a sense, it's not unrelated, but the liking at that time is unwholesome mental factor. So it's a cause. It can accumulate and condition unwholesome deeds in the future. We're thinking of cause and result in a very specific way. We're talking about the nature of the moment of consciousness rather than the conventional idea of things going our way.
Cause also, there are many degrees. When we talk about karma, kamapata, it means the level of cause that can produce result. Otherwise, in everyday lopa, just attachment to colors and all that, that's not considered kamapata. But it is the same nature as the kama. It's still kama, but does not produce result in, you know, as seeing or hearing or as rebirth.
And one more point, because you were asking beforehand, so we were talking about three kinds of death. So one kind is the momentary death of chitta now, and one kind of death is the chuti chitta, the last moment of consciousness of this life. And so from what we said before, do you know what the third kind of death is?
No.
The death of the arahat, the end of life in samsara.
Yes.
So no more arising of chitta at all, because all causes have been completely eradicated, no more attachment, no more ignorance, so no more chitta that follows. So this is the third kind of death.
And that is still chuti chitta?
It's chuti chitta, but no more becoming.
No more patisandhi.
No more patisandhi. Parinibbana. Headache?
A
lot of homework.
What are new words today? What are new words for you today?
What new words have you learned?
Roots. Okay, roots. Just talk about one root at a time. Is citta root?
Citta is root.
If we don't learn about what are the roots, we cannot answer at all. That's why we have to understand one word clearly. When we talk about citta, we just talk about that which experiences, the faculty of experiences. For example, now, seeing. We just talk about that which sees, the faculty, the chief of seeing or experience, that which now appear through the eyes. See? So citta is the reality which experience, the faculty of experiences an object. If there is no citta at all, nothing can appear. There's no world, no one at all. But citta arises by conditions. It cannot arise alone. So we have to understand, so what condition citta to arise? There is another reality, which is the mental factor, or we call it cetasika. A reality which arises together, it conditions each other, like citta conditions cetasika, and cetasika conditions citta. Nothing can arise alone by itself, because whatever arises is sankhara dhamma, that which must be conditioned by many conditions unknown now, but there are many we don't know. But Buddha taught us little by little about what is now. It is moment of seeing. So what it's seeing is that which experience an object. It sees. And is there hearing? Yes, there is hearing. What is it? It's the moment of experiencing sound. No one there. Only the reality which can experience hearing. And these are the characteristics of what we call citta. Sometimes the word mano or vijnana or hatiya or manasa, depending on what we are using what word. So begin to understand what is now. What is there now? We think about the world and many things, but what is the meaning of the world? See, that which arises and falls away. What will we experience must be that which arises and falls away. So the word in other sense is that which arises and falls away. Citta arises and falls away. So it's world or sankhara dhamma. We can use many words to have better and better understanding of just a characteristic which is now. The seeing, the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, the touching. As much as we can understand citta is the daily life, we cannot understand other cittas besides this when we do not learn about them. But what it can be known is only moment of seeing. No one there at all, only a reality, a conditioned reality, just arise to see and then fall away, never to return in samsara, just once. This is what Buddha had enlightened, the truth that nothing is permanent at all. But without understanding, it seems it stays, like seeing now. No one experienced the arising and falling away of seeing. But if seeing just stays, there would be just the object which is seen, only one, not many. But now citta experiences so many color and many shape and form because of the arising and falling away of citta in succession, so very rapidly. So what appears is just shape and form, the nimitta, the sign of that which arises and falls away. Otherwise there cannot be anything appear as eyebrow or hair or eyes at all. this must be that which can be seen. And that which can be seen is not hardness, softness. It's another reality which is there with the hardness and softness. But hardness cannot impinge on the eyebrows. Only that which is there with it, which impinge on the eye, and citta sees it, only that which has impinged on the eye and hasn't fallen away yet. Because citta arises to see in a moment, and other moment experiences the same object that impinged on the eye and not fallen away yet. So the citta experiences rupa, or that which can be experienced, because we know that there are two different kinds of realities. One can not experience at all. Like hardness cannot know anything. But without that which arises to experience, nothing can appear. And the reality which arises and experience are citta and cetasikas. But they are different. Citta is the chief, the faculty of experiencing the object. And cetasikas, which arise with one moment of citta, each perform its own function. Like memory now. One said that I remember, but if there is no reality which arises and remember, there is no memory at all. But we take it for I remember, I see, take everything for I, which experience. But actually, there is no one, only different realities arising and falling away from moment to moment. This is the beginning. And we learn just a little more, like how many cittas are there and how many cetasikas are there, why different. And the citta, which is the cause, is not the citta, which is result, which the kamma or the citta, which performs the action or deed completely, can bring about or can condition the vipaka citta later. So we born differently, different parents, family, fame and on, because of the accumulated kammas which can produce result in that particular life. Like to be born a bird, can they have like we have? Because different kind of patisanti citta, the result citta, which performs the function of birth. So, akusala kamma, no matter it is killing, stealing, or whatever with cetasikas, has arisen and fallen away, no matter how long. But it can produce result when time comes, with proper conditions. So we have to understand that how many cittas are the result of akusala kamma, because the kusala kammas can produce more result. But for the akusala kamma, it can produce only 7 akusala vipaka cittas only. No matter in hell or human being or what, only 7 akusala kamma. No one there, see. So we can see that when the cause is unwholesome, it produces the unwholesome result. And what we take for unwholesome result, it experiences the unpleasant object. There is seeing. Nobody can make the seeing arise to see what we like. It depends on conditions, on kamma, each moment. Whether it arises to experience the pleasant or unpleasant object by the past kammas, which it's time for such or certain kamma to produce result. That's why in one's life, the parts of life which are vipaka, the result, and the other part is the kusala citta or akusala citta, not the result. But it is a cause for the future result. So we know at this moment, hearing the teachings, understanding, the understanding is vipaka, or the result or the cause. Understanding what is heard. Hearing is the result, only hearing, but the understanding after hearing is not result. Because someone can understand and someone cannot understand after hearing the same word. So it depends on accumulation. So we learn more about the citta and cetasikas, which are not result, and citta and cetasikas, which are cause. We cannot change the cause to be the result, and we cannot change the result to be the cause.
Two people seeing the same bank note, you know, on the table, no one around. One person will think about giving it away to somebody, finding the owner. Another person will pick it up, or someone seeing going to a shop, Apple shop, seeing no one attending to something. One person will think about stealing, another person will not think about stealing. Now, this and those who steal, when you steal, you think that's a result or that's a cause when you steal. We talk about karma, unwholesome, bad karma. What do you think stealing is?
I think it's because we're not used to thinking of these words in the same way. So actually we're just distinguishing between moments of seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and touching and the habit or the tendency that follows it, the habit for attachment, the habit for understanding, the habit for getting angry. So we're just saying these habits or tendencies are different from the moments of seeing and hearing. So the moments of seeing and hearing are the result of karma. But the real problems or the real good in life is because of the good or bad habits that follow. So this is what they mean by cause. If we're not talking about seeing or hearing or smelling or tasting or touching, the answer is cause.
There's a difference between how these terms are used by people generally, because in conventional discussion, if something good happens, they will say, that's my gamma, I'm having good gamma. But what they're really having is good result.
And I think that if we remember that in one's life, we can know what moment is vipaka. Just one moment of seeing, which can be known in daily life, because we cannot know the other vipaka which follow the seeing. It's unknown. But this moment of seeing, it's the result of karma. Only one moment, which can be known, and the other moments are not vipaka. So the vipaka of karma is moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, that's all, through five doorways. At the moment, like or dislike, not vipaka, they are the beginning of the cause to produce result later.
I think that's a situation where we can understand how important it is to just keep on listening and developing understanding slowly, because we usually end up thinking on our own, you know, so we need to listen more and more.
And when I asked you earlier if you had a headache now, what I was leading to is there are actually two kinds of headache. So there is the headache that is result, a moment of painful bodily feeling, of experiencing pain when, for example, you burn a finger or have a real headache. So that's just a moment of painful bodily feeling, which is a result of karma. And then there is what we call the headache when we're
thinking and worrying and stressing out. So that is cause. That is the habit, different from the painful bodily feeling, which is the result. So two kinds of hitting.
So we learn to understand better and better. For example, without a head, there cannot be headache. See? So it's different from even not thinking about head, but you say it's headache. See?
Now it's more headache.
So use the right word.
I look more
than
today.
All of us.
And, even though we understand, it's just like understand. It's non-self. Even though we not understand, it just not understand. It's non-self. Because today we hear many words. It's also profound. It's deep, too, very deep. Like Pavanka Chit's function of the Chitta, 14th. Yes. Like we hear the word Santirana Padesantichit, Tattha Lampanachit, Chavanachit. But it's, how can we know? Can we know? So just the wisdom can know. So nobody know, no being know, no us can know, just the wisdom arise and can know. So important thing just to understand, and understand is just the wisdom. Nobody, don't forget, it's just the Dharma reality. For now, so no concern, no worry, even though.
Thank
you so much. Yeah, no concern, no worry.
And what we think of is so important, it's not important.
Yeah, because it's non-self. You know? Just listen, carefully, you know?
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you.
Even Panya,
really appreciate.
Even a moment of understanding arises and falls away, and Tanajan reminded us the other day, is even with that is suffering, because it arises and falls away, but it can condition more understanding.
More confused.
It's all gone, and each dharma is not of any consequence because it's gone already. So always back to this moment.
So remember what are vipakas. Remember what are vipakas.
Okay.
Very seen now.
I wrote it as 7. Akusara vipaka.
In daily life, only 5 can appear. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, only 5.